From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Well, I don't like to say I told you so, but I told you so. It's now been a week since news of the international outbreak of the so-called swine flu raised fears of a worldwide pandemic with an unknown potential for countless deaths. But so far, the flu's oink has been worse than its bite. Now in New York City, officials there say that the swine flu still has not spread beyond a few schools. In Mexico, the suspected origin of the outbreak, very few relatives of flu victims seem to have caught the virus, as further evidence that this strain of the H1N1 influenza virus is looking a little less ominous now. A U.S. health official says it lacks the genes that made the 1918 pandemic strain so deadly. And a flu expert in New York says there's no reason to believe the new virus is a more serious strain than just seasonal flu. So just keep watching that. Government health officials are warning dieters and bodybuilders to immediately stop using Hydroxycut, a widely sold supplement linked to cases of serious liver damage and at least one death. The FDA said the maker of the dietary supplement has agreed to recall 14 of its products available in grocery stores and pharmacies. Hydroxycut is advertised as made from natural ingredients. At least 9 million packages were sold last year. Singer-actor impressionist Danny Gans, who spent more than a decade as one of the most popular entertainers in Las Vegas, has died. He was 52 years old. The Zodiac, the hooded serial killer who menaced the Bay Area 40 years ago, has so fascinated the public that motion pictures, books, blogs have been devoted to sifting through clues for his identity. And just when you thought every angle has been covered, along comes Deborah Perez, who announced at a sidewalk news conference in San Francisco that the Zodiac killer was her dad and that she rode in the car when he went out to kill. She's 47 years old now, a real estate agent who lives in Corona, California, and by one estimate joined about 1,200 other people who have boasted of knowing the identity of the man who stalked lovers' lanes and taunted the police with letters to the media. Next hour, roundtable discussion about the Zodiac killer. Attorneys for Chrysler said the company will file a motion by Saturday to sell substantially all of its assets to Italian automaker Fiat, but that will not include 8 plants, including 5 that the automobile maker revealed will shutter by the end of next year. While Chrysler faced its first bankruptcy hearing today, court documents show the ailing automaker plans to close plants in Michigan, Missouri, Ohio, Wisconsin that employ about 4,800 people. Chrysler said they will be offered jobs at other plants. A Northern California postal worker has pleaded guilty to opening greeting cards and stealing the cash found inside. Prosecutors say that Dean Hudson stole between $5,000 and $10,000 during a 6-month period last year. Joshua P. Warren was just on with us a few days ago reporting on his trip to Puerto Rico to look for the chupacabra. Well, now he has some breaking news for us. Joshua, what's up?
Well, thank you for having me back, George. I wanted to follow up, and in fact, I'm about to head out tomorrow morning on my next expedition, so figured I'd drop a bombshell on your show first.
All right, go for it.
You know, for months I've been studying this report of creatures, or at least one particular creature that was captured in Mexico. And I've been trying to figure out whether or not this is a hoax, an alien, a chupacabra, some new species, a mutant. Well, finally today, I have received 2 photographs, and I've been given permission to publish one of them. It is a high-quality, full-color picture of the creature that was captured with its arm in a trap, and also all the specific details that we've been missing in terms of the names of the people involved, the location, the dates, all of the things necessary for real scrutiny. And when I was on your show Wednesday night, I had a sketch that I had produced roughly showing this creature. And I know that the website more or less shut down at certain times, so I would like to ask your listeners to please be patient. We have our webmaster standing by. But so far, I am proud to announce I am the only person who has been given permission to place this image on a website. And you can go right now or throughout the night and see a photograph of this creature
trapped in the trap,
supposedly taken while it was alive, mind you, as well as a complete report I wrote up with all the details that can then be investigated by your listeners. It's posted under the breaking news section of joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P there, joshuapwarren.com. And this is, of course, the first step in allowing the public to truly tackle this and see if this seems legitimate. But I can tell you that the people I've been in contact with who were involved here, including Jaime Musan, who is the principal player in this down in Mexico, they are adamant, saying this is not a hoax, saying this is the real thing. And in fact, Jaime Musan, as it turns out, even personally knows one of the best eyewitnesses who claims that he saw this thing while it was alive, and we think it might have lived for up to 36 hours before it was intentionally killed by the men who had it.
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen this picture on your website. It is remarkable, and what I'd like to do, Joshua, with your permission, is to send this photograph to your website, of course. He's got to go to your website, but we know an expert who deals with making models of incredible-looking creatures. He uses actual fish skin and body parts, and I want him to look at this because I want him to tell us that it is not his. First of all, he's probably the only one on the planet that makes them. He's absolutely incredible. So we'll get him to your website, and we'll get him to at least tell us yes or no, and we'll let you know that too, Joshua. Joshua P. Warren. But go take a look at it, joshuapwarren.com. Up next, Dr. C. Norman Shealy joins us. Pony Wisdom for the soul. Fascinating hour for you. Dr. C. Norman Shealy's ideas have been the foundation for pain management therapies used worldwide, and the Shealy program is the mainstay of chronic pain treatment and management sought by patients and physicians alike. His latest work is called Pony Wisdom for the Soul, and here he is, C. Norman Shealy. Hello, doctor. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and please call me Norm, George.
Norm it is. Pony Wisdom, what the heck is that?
Well, it's an allegory of a true story of the life of a delightful, remarkable, intuitive lady that I met about 5 years ago. And we kept corresponding, mostly by email, but also by phone, and actually have visited once. And I kept saying, you know, we got to publish this. She did not wish me to until I said, well, let's just publish a little book and let all the royalties go to your favorite charity.
I'd like it.
And so she said, you can. You've got me.
Now, you did get her. Pony Wisdom, of course. Originally, when I first was looking at this, thinking, okay, are we talking about horses tonight on the show? And no. Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, this wonderful lady, whom I can't disclose
her name, I understand,
is now 78 years of age. And for some 37 years, she had a material presentation in her own home of Jeshua, whom we know as Jesus Christ, who answered her questions about what we think this life is. And it's a fascinating story. And the thing that fascinated me about it is, here's a lady who's so accurate she can tell me practically whether my left toenail is ingrown over the phone. She learned that everything that we see here is really a dream and illusion. Now, being acquainted with A Course in Miracles, I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, A Course in Miracles is 1,100 pages, but it says much the same thing that she does.
You don't know, I have long suspected that everything that is going on in our lives are dreams, are illusions, and the reality is later. But I've always suspected that, and it's ironic that she has come to this conclusion.
Well, it's fascinating, and every once in a while, she and I talk on the phone and say, boy, you know, it certainly is a psychotic world we're living in.
If we're in a dream, though, or an illusion, what the heck is it? Truly, what is it?
Well, it certainly seems realistically stupid. I mean, that's being kind of the way people behave and treat one another.
True.
And, you know, for 2,000 years since supposedly Yeshua or Jesus existed, we haven't grown much. We've gotten a lot of fancy technological-looking stuff. But as far as treating people well, we haven't learned the golden rule.
One step forward, two step back. That's what we've been doing, Norm.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, and ridiculous. The Northern Irish and the Southern Irish, the Middle East, us in Iraq, where, I mean, you know, the whole thing is like an idiotic dream.
Who's doing the dreaming?
Well, that question goes round and round and round. As far as I can tell, each of us that we consider ourselves were created by the one creation of God. God is an entity, not a living human being. An entity is the best we can call it, who created one thing, an only begotten, quote, son, and started playing mental games, started dreaming.
You know, if we're dreaming, let's say, in other dimensions or in parallel universes, I might understand that. It's ironic, though. I mean, what happens when people die, let's say, in our dream today? Could it be because their actual body woke up from the dream and then they merely ended?
That's one possibility, but we think, at least from what Marianne has said, that actually we've created this even more complex scenario of rebirth and reincarnation. And until the soul, which is really the primary entity, the body is just another play on the stage, until the soul reaches a state that we might call ultimate enlightenment and knows that it doesn't have to dream anymore, we keep reappearing. And so one of the things I got into back in the early 70s spontaneously was knowing previous so-called lives. And during this last 30-some-odd years, I have recalled or had helped recalling in past life sessions at least 30 of my previous incarnations. And sometimes I say to my friend, well, you know, 300 years ago, I wasn't nearly as nice as I am today.
Yeah. You've changed. You've grown.
Right. And I hope that we keep growing to that stage where we don't need to dream anymore, because it's an unpleasant dream so much of the time. And yet, despite all of that, George, as I look out, I think it's okay. I am okay, and we're all going to eventually get there, but it might take a billion years at the rate we're going.
Even if we may be in a dream state, we still have the ability to change things, don't we?
That's right. In fact, I think we have the responsibility to change things. That's the real, the goal is we must forgive everything, not worry about this thing we call time, and we are to express love. And, you know, love is one of those things I have looked at since I was a child, I guess most of us do to some extent. And I used to think it was liking. But what I realize is the most basic human nature is the desire to help other people. I've often said, you know, if Saddam Hussein was outside hit by a car, most of us would rush out to help him.
Until we realized who he was.
Well, you know, I honestly am not a person who can believe in the death penalty, because I don't think any human being is wise enough to make that decision. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I think people like that need to be locked up in our dream world, but I would not murder him myself.
Why can't we just wish them into the cornfield?
Huh? That I would love to do. And one or two of their colleagues.
Consciousness. Tell me how this ties into the work that you've been doing.
Well, of course, to me, consciousness is realizing that we must not harm other people. That's all that there is. That's what my friend would call awake. If you become awake, you realize you do not have a right at any level to harm another person.
They just arrested a guy here in Los Angeles from the 70s. They believe he has been a serial killer, killing at least 30 people, maybe 50. Who knows how many? Who knows how many? I contend, Norm, that no matter how many people are good, you can put 100 of us in a room, and 99 of us may be just great people. You're still going to get that one individual that is out to do something bad, whether it's murder, greed, corruption, whatever. There's always going to be one out there, and I don't know how you can solve the whole thing.
Well, I don't either. You know, many years ago, the insurance commissioner of the state of Pennsylvania said 15% of physicians are crooks. Now, I suspect that 15% of people are still totally unconscious. And those who do things such as the serial killer are what we call psychopaths. They have no conscience. They have no ability to understand just how bad they are. Now, if 15% of people, I don't think 15% of people would murder, but 15% of people will steal, harm in other ways, and they...
I would have hoped that was lower. That seems high to me.
Well, that's,
frighteningly so.
Well, I have my own guide that I talk to, and when I ask my guide, who seems to be an angelic being, 20 years ago, what percent of people are conscious... He said 6%.
What do you think is on the other side, Norm?
Well, the other side, of course, in this thing that we call a universe, is death and rebirth until we do learn, until we become conscious. And some people are slow learners. Now, I also believe in parallel universes. I don't think there's any question that the majority of the stuff that we call ETs is actually not in this so-called third, which really is the fourth dimension, according to Einstein, but is another dimension bleeding through, sort of, and that some entities could go back and forth between universes.
You may be right. You may be right. And that could also explain how they simply disappear.
Exactly. Instantly here, instantly gone.
Gone. They can't go that fast. It's just, poof, they're gone.
Right. And of course, that's how things change in a dream, isn't it?
You know, is it, how does it feel to you that we may be simply just dreaming, that none of this is real?
Well, you know, if you don't have an ego that demands being on stage all the time, it actually begins to seem very real. You say, wow, you know, I really don't have to change the world. I only have to change my own thinking. That's a big enough job.
I mean, poor Danny Gans, for example. If you've been to Vegas, you know the name, right?
Right.
Danny Gans, 52 years old, dies in his sleep. So he probably didn't even know what happened to himself. But if there is a hereafter, the poor soul's probably wandering around going, what the heck happened to me?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. My father died at age 53.
Oh, my.
Of his third heart attack in his sleep. And
so he never knew he died.
No. But he has come back to me on at least three occasions and given me messages.
Hopeful messages of the future or personal stuff?
Personal stuff mostly. You know, he smoked a lot, 3 packs a day.
So he told you not to?
Oh, yes. In fact, but he told me that when he was alive. In fact, when I was a child, he said, if you won't smoke till you're 21, I'll give you $1,000. Well, I wouldn't have smoked if he'd given me $1 million.
Yet he smoked.
Right. He was addicted. And so for years after his death, as a physician, I said, you know, my father committed suicide smoking.
Norm, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come back. Pony Wisdom. It's all about the true nature of consciousness. Pony Wisdom for the soul. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I'll be in San Diego tomorrow for my first UFO conference, and they have some tickets available in a very limited setting. So take advantage of it. It's a UFO conference and webcast. There's information on the coasttocoastam.com website under the calendar section, which is right down there in the middle of the homepage. If you live in the greater San Diego area, why don't you come on out? It should be a grand experience for everybody. And now it's time for our traditional shout-out, by the way, for thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, Streamlink members on channel, of course, 165 for XM Satellite, and the various chat rooms and groups, NighthawkZone.com, folks, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, and Above Top Secret as well. And by the way, you Moondog out there at the Nighthawk Zone, people will pray for you. Thank you for your email. Get better. Keep fighting. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Norm Shealy, author of Pony Wisdom for the Soul. Norm, before we go to calls as well, tell me a little bit about your pain management therapies. How did that work?
Well, of course, I started as a neurosurgeon, and I began to get referred all these people who were hurting and nobody knew what to do, and most neurosurgeons were cutting their spinal cord and other barbarian things like that. And in 1971, I decided we had to find an alternative way of doing that. And so I've seen 30,260 people.
Jeez.
Who have failed everything that conventional medicine has to offer. And so we incorporated biofeedback very early. I started doing acupuncture spontaneously in 1967. Knew nothing about it, just started doing it. And turned out, when I later studied acupuncture, I was doing it the way the Chinese have done it for 4,000 years. That comes from a previous life, by the way, George.
Sure.
And we obviously teach people many things. I use a lot of self-hypnosis, but it's not something I do, something they do. And we actually can treat the basic problem that they have, which is depression, with an 85% success rate within 2 weeks without drugs.
All right. To the calls we go. We go to Colorado Springs to start with Stephen, west of the Rockies. Hey, Stephen, take it away.
Hey, good evening, George, and good evening, Doctor. I've really enjoyed the last segment. I've caught most of it as I was driving along.
Right.
But I'd like to comment and add a little additional substance to the subject at hand in that I'm a devout Tibetan Buddhist, and the foundation of what you're speaking of tonight is the foundation of our faith and has been for the past 2,500 years. The way that we look at and perceive things is that, yes, this world, our lives, are very much a dream state, but to take it one step further, everything that we encounter, everything that we are in the quote-unquote I-ego state is a projection of our own minds, and such is our own experience. And everybody in our lives around us that we are in contact with, associate with, and go throughout this life have been in endless previous lives before in one circumstance or the other. So it's an endless projection. And going to what you were saying about, you know, 15 out of 100 people being bad from the get-go, well, time, linear time, is an illusion, and we have an eternity to work out our own problems. Unfortunately, a lot of people carry on a lot of trauma over multiple lifetimes that may take several lifetimes to resolve or overcome.
Well, I totally agree philosophically, and my teacher, if you will, Muffy the Pony, would tell you, yes, that is the way it is.
Yep, indeed. All right, thank you. Michael, Costa Mesa, California, first-time caller. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, George.
Good evening.
Thanks for your wonderful show. See, Norm, my question is, you were talking about before the break about your father dying of from smoking. Did he make any recommendation of what would be a good thing to stop smoking?
No, he didn't. What he said is, stop saying I committed suicide. I had a contract. It was to die at age 53. You came into this life saying you wanted a very strong will. I gave you an example of someone you would consider weak will so you could make the choice. I said, why didn't you tell me that earlier? You've been dead 35 years. He said, you weren't ready to hear it.
What do you think, Norm? Were you ready to hear it?
Well, I, you know, consciously, at least, what I think is that I would have been ready to hear it, but he didn't tell me that. And so, from a medical point of view, smoking and severe obesity are suicide. But that's just one perception. My sister died of obesity, and I said the same thing about her. Well, she came back once and said, you know, I learned the path of the heart, and I learned it from the shadow side. And I said, well, what's my life path? She said, you should learn it from the light side. It's a lot less painful.
Ozark, Missouri, we go. Shane, east of the Rockies. Hey, Shane.
Hi, George. A pleasure to be speaking with you again, as always.
Sure.
A wonderful show. Doctor, you said that 15% of people could be bad or able to do bad things or hurt people. And I've been struggling as one of those 15%ers, and more than that, I've been struggling to stopping one of those 15%ers. I got a 4-year-old son who is my world, my universe, and I want to make sure he's got a good father. And how do I stop being one of those 15%ers? I fight you daily, but yet the 15% thoughts are always still on my mind, and I don't want to be that 15% anymore.
What a wonderful, wonderful comment. My wife and I wrote a book back in the 70s called To Parent or Not. And already I can tell you, your attitude is going to make the difference. A happy parent who really treats a child well is almost never going to wind up producing one of these, you know, disoriented, psychotic people. I'm not saying it can't happen, but we are quite convinced that depression alone, people who are angry throughout life, and people who really deviate, had poor parents. The parents abused them or abandoned them psychologically and emotionally. And loving your child and treating that child well is 99.999% of producing a great child.
I think so, too. Delta, British Columbia in Canada. Shannon, you're up with us. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, take it away.
Okay, I was wondering if dreams are like reality, then this is really kind of how come dreams are so easily forgotten?
Well, of course, you're talking
or never remembered.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And you're talking about the dream of nighttime, I suppose. Well, some of us remember virtually all of our dreams.
What if the dream is really the reality?
That's another option, George, but I think it's also, it's a dream within a dream, and that's the closest I can come to it. You know, it's part of the multi-dimensionality of the universes.
Absolutely. All right, Shannon, good for you. Let's move on. Aurora, Colorado. Hello, Peggy. It's your turn on Coast to
Hi,
Coast.
Hi, George. Hey. Hello, Norm. I have a different perspective on your reincarnation. I remember one time when I asked a friend a long time ago if she believed in reincarnation, and she had a very interesting answer. She said, I believe the soul has many experiences. And that opened up a whole different world. What if we are the experience of our soul?
Well, of course, you know, this can be part of this multidimensionality. And, of course, the other thing, there is no time. It didn't happen in the past. It's all simultaneous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It would answer a whole lot. I mean, especially when they say that God created Jesus in his own image. Well, he didn't look like that. He didn't look like most of the pictures. I believe that he was part of God's soul himself.
Well, we, of course, make up stories, and the religions have created stories that are somewhat allegory and sometimes have been changed in order to make a point and control people.
Okay, good. Thank you. A couple more calls here. Let's go to Asheville, North Carolina, home of Joshua P. Warren. Hello, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Norm.
Heidi.
How are you both?
Good.
Wonderful.
That's great. I'd like to. I'm interested in past lives and how I can remember my past lives more, especially the ones that are relative to this one.
Well, of course, I've done hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably, of past life sessions with people. And so you can get a guide to assist you. I've been doing it since 1972, and I've experienced half a dozen different techniques by different individuals for getting me into a state of consciousness where I spontaneously recall. Nobody's ever told me, you know, this is what's happening. I actually sense it just as realistically as I am talking to you right now.
Norm, if everybody concentrated on their fellow man's welfare, peace, constantly, consciousness, pushing it, do you think that would work?
I do. I believe that if 90%, let's just say if 60% of the people we think are in this dream concentrated only on positivity 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that it would change and a huge number of people would wake up.
Justin, we go now in Pennsylvania, first-time caller. Justin, go ahead.
Yes, hello, George and Norm. Got a quick question
sure.
for you. Well, I lost my son in January. He was 4 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was battling leukemia in the process of getting ready for a stem cell transplant. The medication swelled his brain. He passed away from it. Never thought about the afterlife too much until now, but I mean, I guess my question is, you know, I hear people talking about reincarnation. Do you think that he's going to stick around long enough for me to see him after my time is, or do you think he'll continue on?
I have no doubt that when you pass on, you will find your son there with other loved ones waiting for you. Now, I think the soul can create multiple things at the same time. And meanwhile, at some point, it could be this year or 100 years from now, he will actually come back into a lifetime. When a child dies or has a serious illness before age 7, I think this is always part of karma. It's a carryover from a previous life, either for him to fulfill something for himself or to help you learn a lesson.
Let's take God out of the picture for a second, Norm. Why is the other side, and I'm not talking about demonic spirits, but why does there seem to be so much good on the other side?
Well, I think that when you are in that part of this dream, you actually realize what right and good are. And the vast majority of entities on the other side are good in people, good souls who are trying to help us wake up and do good.
No doubt. Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Spotted Eagle, west of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're great. Thanks.
I have two really bizarre dreams to tell you about.
Okay. Let's get the first one in. We're coming up to the clock.
The first one is I had a dream about this little baby falling off these waterfalls, and I was at the bottom of the falls, and I was yelling at the parents to watch their baby crawling near the falls. Well, they couldn't hear me because of the rushing water. Well, I climbed up halfway, and the baby fell into the falls. This is in the dream, and I grabbed the baby. It had bibs overalls on, and the bibs broke, and the baby continued down. Well, the very next day, I went to my little sister's birthday party, and the neighbor lady came running out of the house. She says, "Help my baby."
You still with us? No, you're breaking up a little bit. See if you can find a better spot. You're in the verge of a great story here. I hate to miss it. You there? Oh.
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 But we have to assume that this...
I assume the lady came out and saw some little kid in a pool or something drowning, and he was wearing overalls.
Or that her child had been, you know, had a problem. And so I think it was a partial precognitive dream. But it also could have meaning for him that some new thought that he has not carried through adequately. And if he doesn't pay attention to it, he's going to lose an opportunity for a great creation.
You know, Norm, there's never been a time where people need to soul search than ever before, than right now.
Oh, I totally agree, George. We are in the most chaotic part of the dream I think that has existed in thousands of years.
Let's go to St. Louis. Dan, east of the Rockies. Just left there, Daniel. How are you?
How are you, Nighthawk?
Good.
George. Hey, listen, I was in the hospital for a month. I had a cyst or whatever. Anyway, I had an operation. They had tubes stuck down me and everything like that, you know?
Yeah.
And every time I woke up, it was a nightmare, you know? And then the only time I really lived my life was in my dream for like a whole month. You know, it was like my dream was reality. And when I'd wake up, it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And you probably wished you were in the dream.
Oh, yeah. You try to get back into the dream because it was like terrible. So I know what he's talking about it being a dream. So you wonder what is real and, you know, what is a dream.
Go ahead, Norm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say that it's all a dream, and it's, none of it is real in our concept of physical reality.
None of it.
None. But an interesting dream, and you can create. You have the ability to direct your dream to good.
If people continue to, are there exercises or anything like that for people
absolutely.
That you recommend?
Yes. I think spending time in meditation or reverie and actually using what's called creative imagery is tremendously valuable. And I've made up, you know, several dozen guided imagery exercises to help people with various things. We know and have known for over 100 years that people who practice creative imagery can change what seems to be our reality.
St. Paul, we go in Minnesota. Josh, go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I had a question for you. I mean, how does this relate to out-of-body experiences? I mean, that almost seems like the reality.
Well, of course, having had several of those myself, I think it is another aspect of your consciousness. In other words, you're withdrawing from your body to observe. But you could observe what's going on in Russia. You could observe what's going on another planet or another solar system. And that's what an out-of-body experience is. This is the ultimate projection.
Norm, has there ever been a scary situation that you've encountered?
Oh, yes. You mean when I'm out of body? Or?
Yes.
No, not when I've been out of body. I think all of my scary situations have been dealing with some of the odd people in this thing that we call the real world.
Which could be the real dream.
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, quite unexpectedly, I have on 6 occasions when working with patients had to do an exorcism. The first time it happened, I didn't even know what an exorcism was. I knew it could be done. And I kind of enjoyed it. And finally, I was able to get it to go to the light.
Pony Wisdom for the Soul. Where do you get it?
Well, Galdi Press. And, of course, you could just look it up on the Internet. And they could get it from my website, normsheely.com. And some bookstores would have it or could order it for you.
And spell the last name for us.
S-H-E-A-L-Y.
You got it. Thanks, Norm. I appreciate you being on the program.
Thanks, George. It was great fun. Have a wonderful evening.
Absolutely. Up next, roundtable discussion, The Zodiac Killer, a story that just doesn't seem to go away. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.